Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do. We honor you for who you are, God. And Lord, we can say that your name is excellent in all of the earth, God. You're worthy. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the magnificent name of Jesus the Christ, God. So, Lord, we say thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to share in your word, God. We ask that, Lord, you'll open up your word, God, that your Holy Spirit will abide, God, that it will use us, God, that you might speak to us, your people, God. We thank you. We praise you. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you love the Lord, put your hands together and give him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. I am convinced that we don't praise God enough for what he does for us. Like I said, if you had a week like mine, you realize how good the Lord has been to you. If you're here today, you know that God has been good to you. Amen, amen, amen. The old folks say, I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But oh, but for the mercy of God, the grace of God. Amen, 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 amen. Once again, we come and open up his holy writ. We're going to give you part B of the message we began on last week. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. For the sake of the text and those who were not here with us last week, we're going to read and you're hearing the same verses. Matthew 11th chapter, verse number 28, it says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. From this passage of scripture, piggybacking off of last week's, we're going to title this sermon, Surrendering to the Savior's Yoke. Surrendering to the Savior's Yoke. Last week we talked about us having this rest. Yes. Give some context once again. Jesus is taking this opportunity to share with the people, the common people, the people who are struggling with life and have adversities in their lives. But yet they come to church and they have even a greater burden put upon them by the Pharisees and the scribes. And as I often mention, there's a spirit of Pharisees in the church today.
Amen.
To where we put unnecessary burdens upon the people. Because folk can't quote scriptures. I'm not big on scripture memorization. I need you to understand what the scripture means.
Amen.
How do I apply it to my life? So Jesus is combating this spirit of this burden that they're putting upon the people. And he tells them that, hey, listen, I got in exchange for the burden that these Pharisees have put on your shoulders, I've got this rest for you. Now understand, this rest that Jesus is talking about here is what's known as positional rest. Today we're going to deal with what's known as practical rest. Positional rest comes when we receive Christ as our Savior. We come to him and positionally we're in a restful position. Because now we're in Christ Jesus, we have the ability, as it says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. So positionally, we have this rest, we have this peace. But there is a practical rest that we have also in Christ Jesus. In the text today, he tells us that we are to take this yoke upon us. Now understand the analogy of taking the yoke upon us has an agricultural theme to it. And you have to understand agriculture at the time in which Jesus was writing this. As a matter of fact, most of the people that perhaps were listening to Jesus were farmers themselves. So he uses this analogy that they might be able to understand it. He uses it as a metaphor for life. He uses it as a metaphor that we might be able to understand it as well. A yoke is no more than a wooden beam that joins together two animals that are plowing in the field. And how many of you know that it's always said that it's always two heads are better than one? Well, it's the same way with agriculture. You can get more done and be more efficient in your farming if you have two yoke or a yoke of oxen to perform the task. And at that time, what they would do is they would yoke together an experienced bull with an immature bull. The bulk of the weight would be on the mature bull. It was a partnership between the two, but they were all, both striving for a common goal. And that is to till the ground, to turn it over, that they might be able to sow seeds. Much in the same way that's what we're doing, right? We're trying to sow seeds. And we're working at it. That's a part of our responsibility as being Christians, is to be seed sowers. But before we sow the ground or sow the seeds, the ground must be prepped that the seed may be able to fall into the ground and germinate and begin to produce new lives. And just like these two bulls are coming together in a partnership, what Christ is saying is that I want you to partner with me. I want you to come into partnership with me. But the only way that you can do that is if you surrender to the yoke. What does that mean? That means that you surrender your will to his will. In other words, it's no longer about you. It's no longer about me. But it's about him. It's about me following his direction. It's about me giving up my own way of doing things and my own way of how I feel about a certain matter. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. I always do things that I just don't like doing. But I do it for the glory of God. I do it that God might be glorified. Yeah. Listen here, the problem that I'm finding with most Christians is that most Christians don't want to surrender. Yeah. Listen, this is not just about you having it on easy street. This rest that Christ is speaking of is not just your relaxation. It's not just chilling. No, that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about us working and partnershiping with God. And the weight that's on us is far less than the weight it was when we were out there in the world. You see, because when I was out there in the world, I was trying to impress people. I was trying to get folk to like me that wasn't gonna never like me. I had to continue to perform, had to continue to do and meet their standards and their expectations. Have you ever been there before? Many of us are trying to please folk that you'll never be able to please. We're trying to make people happy that will never be happy with you. They'll be happy as long as you're giving them what they want. They'll be happy as long as you're doing what they want you to do. But what happens when you have to have some type of confrontation? Can you still love me? Even when you disagree with me? Can you still abide with me when I say something that you don't like? Because we're all going to have that. We're all going to have to deal with that. And the reason why, because we live in a sin-sick world. We will live with a bunch of sinners, and we're part of that sinful nation. Your sin, my sin, ain't no different. It all stinks in the nostril of God. And I realize, I know sometimes how sinful I can be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm just a wretched man, undone sometimes. But I also realize and have experienced the grace of God. And I know that it's not by how I perform that's going to get me into the kingdom of God. It's not. It's going to take God's grace to get me there. Because I'll never be good enough. I'll never work my way into the kingdom. But here Jesus tells them two things. He said, take the yoke. In other words, partnership with me. Come in alignment with me. And then the second portion of it is that you are to learn of me. Or the text says here, learn from him. Well, what is it that we're to learn from Jesus? Well, we see the teachings of Jesus throughout the gospel. We see how Jesus lived his life throughout the gospels. And we only see a couple times where Jesus operated in righteous indignation, where he turned over the tables and began to beat them out of the temple. We've seen that. But one of the greatest characteristics that we see from Jesus, that we glean from Jesus, that we should have, is Jesus' compassion for humanity. Jesus talked about treating people like they ought to be treated, more so than preaching a law. It was demonstrated through how he lived his life. And we have been called to live our lives in accordance to how Jesus lived his life. We'll never be able to make the ultimate sacrifice that Jesus made. But there are some things that you can sacrifice as well. That was one of the questions that was asked in Sunday school today. What are we sacrificing? What's the last thing that you've sacrificed for God? What's the last thing you've surrendered unto God? When is the last time you did a kind gesture for God's sake, that God might be glorified? You don't have to answer right now. Go home and think about it. I mean, we've all received the blessings of God. But how many of us have been a blessing to someone else? How many of us have been a blessing to our church? How many of us have been a blessing to our community in which we live in? Don't you know that this world would be a whole lot better place if we would just go around blessing one another? If we would stop considering ourselves and putting ourselves up on a pedestal and realize that we need to come down off the pedestal and begin to uplift Christ, put him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And God uses each and every one of us to lift up the Savior. But you got to come into a partnership with him. You got to be yoked together with him. That's what this whole analogy was about. You take this experienced ox or this bullock, and you put him with an inexperienced one. Same size, but raw. Inexperienced. The whole objective was to put all of the weight on the mature bull. And as they began to plow in the field, the inexperienced bull would observe what the mature bull was doing. He had an opportunity to learn without having the weightiness on him. And that's what we have in Christ Jesus. We got an opportunity to grow in grace without having the sting of death on our lives. Why? Because we've submitted. We've come into partnership with him. We've surrendered our will to him. We've denied ourselves. Yeah. I know, we don't like those are words we don't really like to hear. You know, we don't want to submit. We don't want to hear submit. We don't want to hear deny ourselves. Because by nature, we are just selfish people. We want things our way. We want to do things what we want to do. And that's why we can't tolerate folk. This is what Jesus did. Even when he dealt with the Pharisees, those ones that meant him no good, he dealt gingerly with them. He was confrontational, but he wasn't obnoxious with them. You see, because I would have been obnoxious. I'd have told them where they were. And some of y'all would have too. But understand, Jesus understood the importance of winning people, influencing people. And that's the difference between the Pharisees and Jesus. Their ways and Jesus' ways is that the Pharisees were managers. They managed the law of God. They exercised their authority over people. Whereas Jesus used love, compassion, and influence. And that's what salvation really is about. I can't melt salvation down and pour it on you and it take effect. It takes a genuine changing of who you are. It takes you really considering and thinking about your ways in your life and realizing that it's better for me to submit myself to the control and the authority of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's for me taking this yoke and following where he goes. The young bull always followed the leadership of the mature bull. And it's the same way in salvation. If you're not following what Jesus did and how Jesus walked, how he walked, where he walked, then you're in disobedience. And we might as well just take the yoke off of you. Because you're not willing to listen to what Christ has to say. You're not willing to walk in his ways. You're not willing to be obedient to him. And you cannot be obedient to him if you're still linked and chained to habitual sins. If you will not come into agreement with God and say, God, I know I'm in sin. And God, I need to come out of this. It's not just enough to have an intellectual pursuit, but it's to have a heart-changing turning from our sinfulness. This is what's involved in surrendering to him. We don't do it to be in partnership with him. We do it as a result of our partnership with him. Because how can two be together, but yet they're walking in different directions? You can't do it. You can't walk together and you're in disagreement. Jesus put it like this. He said that you can't serve two masters. He said, for you'll love one and hate the other. You can't serve two. What the songwriter say? Trying to love two? Show ain't easy to do. When you're trying to love two, it show ain't easy to do. It takes us being committed. It takes us surrendering and partnershiping with Christ. Well, what does that look like? That looks like that you want to learn as much as you can about the one that you're yoked with. I need to know as much as I can, so therefore I make sure that I'm in church service. I'm going to make sure that I'm here, that I might be able to receive the word of God, but I'm also to engage with other fellow oxen. I'm able to learn from them as well. I'm able to, when I get to a place to where I become the mature oxen, I'm able to help somebody. I'm able to yoke up with someone else that I might be able to help them along the way. It's all in us and what God is trying to do through us, that we might be a blessing to the folk around us. It's coming to Sunday school. I'm going to take this minute to put a plug in for the Sunday school, because I've been coming to Sunday school the last couple of, you know, weeks. And I'll continue. I am, because I know how important Sunday school is. And I realized that a lot of my growth came through Sunday school and teaching Sunday school and understanding, you know, God's word through the teachings of, you know, Sunday school lessons. So I'm asking you, please be a regular attendant to Sunday school. This is a sacrifice. Once again, we're talking about a sacrifice, right? Some of us don't want to sacrifice that. Getting up a little bit earlier, coming out on the, you know, some of us don't get in here till 12 o'clock. You get in here enough to hear the sermon, and then you back out until next week. But make the sacrifice. Come out to Sunday school that you might what? Learn of him. That you might learn how to walk this walk. Did you not know that it's easier for you to walk this walk when you know Jesus? What would Jesus do? Most of us don't even know what he'll do in situations and circumstances. Because we have not learned of him. We have not learned from him. And you learn by coming out. Bible study. Starting up in September. You need to be there. We need to be there. We need to be in Bible study. We're coming really aggressive this September when it comes to Bible study. God has placed upon my heart some stuff that I want to do in terms of a Bible study and making sure that we are really getting the message. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because it's vitally important to your growth and to your walk. Yeah. That way, when Christ is saying go left and you want to go right, you understand the significance of obeying God. But the reality of it is that a lot of times we get so conditioned in our own way of thinking and our own way of doing things to where we disregard what the word of God says, because that's how you learn of God. It's how much you spend in God's word, how much time you spend in devotion and praying to God and listening to God and hearing from God. I mean, do you really want to hear from God? A lot of us are afraid to hear from God. I'm talking about on a personal level. There's a specific mission and work that God has for each and every one of us. That is not necessarily a part of what we do here in church on Sunday. There's some folk that God wants you to reach. But you don't know God. You don't hear from God. You don't pick up your Bible. We don't read the word of God like we should. And I'm telling you this from polls that I have seen and I've read of people who profess to be Christians, that the only time they pick up their Bible is on their way out the door to church on Sunday mornings. And it's sad, because there is so much in God's word that he wants to say to you. There's some areas of your life that God wants to minister to you through his word. It ain't necessarily through me, but it's through his word. If you just pick it up. If you just pick it up and begin to read. This is how God works. Do you not know how many times that I was feeling something inside of me in my spirit? I couldn't get it right. But I picked up the word of God and I just opened it up and began to read, and God began to satisfy me and cleanse me and to get me right. Why is that? Because we're learning of him and learning from him. As we learn of him, we become more like him. He said, listen, don't get it twisted. This rest that I'm giving you comes with some work as well. But understand here, he said that my yoke is what? He said it's a light work. It's a light yoke. It's not a heavy yoke that you have. It's not a heavy work that God is asking us to do. And the reason why it's not heavy is because he's carrying most of it. Here's the whole nature of God. Because God, throughout the Bible, you see this all the time. Where God can take just a little, two fish and five barley loaves of bread, 300 men when they were at 30,000 men, and can win a victory on his behalf. God can take that little bit that you have to offer him. If you just offer it to him, if you just bring it to him and say, God, this is all I got. What can you do with it? Bring that little bit. Because he's carrying the load. He's got the load. This whole thing about being yoked together with Jesus Christ and partnershiping with him is teaching us how to live our lives. We've all been given these lives, these new lives in Christ Jesus. Positionally, we are in a place of holiness, that place of rest. We don't have to worry about going to hell. This is for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about those ones who are standing outside the door still, you know, deciding whether they want to come in or not. And just because you're in the church don't mean that you're in Christ Jesus. This is for those ones who have decided that, listen, I'm going to walk in accordance to how Christ walked. I'm going to live my life in accordance to what Christ has showed and has demonstrated to me. I'm going to give up my selfish ways and I'm going to submit to him. It's easier said than done, at least for some. But I joyfully, once I did give it to him, I gave it to him. I gave him all, everything that I had, every burden, every stress that was on me, every failure that I had, I gave it to him. I didn't look back. Lord, you take it. I've tried. I've struggled. I tried to be that perfect person. I tried to be that religious. I tried to be that Pharisee. But I found myself still bogged down with worry, with concern that I'm not living good enough, God. And the word of God tells me you're absolutely right. You're not living good enough. As a matter of fact, you'll never live good enough. But you must trust me. That's the other aspect of this being yoked with Jesus Christ. Is that it requires our faith in him. It requires our trust in him, that he's leading us down the right path. So as I patiently wait and walk and live underneath his rule, up underneath his authority, because it is him that is doing the work. And I'm just a willing participant. I'm just a partaker of it. That's all I am. Listen, I can't take credit for anything. If the ground is plowed and the seed is sown and there becomes life, it ain't mine. I'm just following what he says to do. I won't get out of step with him. I keep marching. And here's the other deal. The mature bull sets the duration of the work to be done. And as long as Jesus is working, I'm going to continue to work. Yes, I know I'm working, but I'm still rested from my work. I still have the stamina to be able to continue to go on in the name of Jesus Christ and complete the work in which he's assigned to my hand. Too many times we want to sit down on Jesus. We don't want to complete the work that has been assigned to us. And that's the problem with the church today. The church has sat down on Jesus. We've been called to a life of sacrifice. We've been called to a life of tribulation. Listen here. We've been called to a life of light affliction. And if you're going to live godly, you will suffer persecution. If you're going to yoke yourself with Jesus Christ, that means that you're going to take on everything that he took on. You remember when James and John's mother came and asked him, hey, listen, can one sit on your right and one sit on your left? He said, unless you're able to drink of the same cup that I'm able to drink of, you can't do it. And Jesus said, indeed, you will drink of that cup. That cup of suffering. And we're the same way. There's going to be some suffering in this thing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You cannot escape this life suffering. Listen, you're going to suffer anyway, right? It don't matter. You're in a fallen world. Even if you ain't in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer. And I would much rather suffer with Christ than without him. That's why I take the yoke. And I put it on my shoulders. And I watch Jesus. I watch as he walks. I watch how he treats other people. I watch how he lives his life. And I try to mimic it as best and as close as I can. Because that's what it is. It's a partnership with Jesus. But it requires me surrendering, submitting myself, denying myself. There's one final act that Jesus did that all of us will do, but not to that degree. Because it was Jesus, even though he went about doing good, even though he went about healing sick people, blessing folk that didn't even like him, turning the other cheek, giving himself, blessing other people, he still gave up his life. Out of all the healings that he did, the greatest healing that he did was on Calvary's cross. Because each and every last one of us was victimized by sin. All of us are plagued by the stain of sin. And if you really understood the significance of that, that means that God is still upset with you. Because you have not received and accepted his payment for your sinfulness. You see, because when you receive the payment for your sinfulness, he washes you clean. He takes the stain of sin out of your life. He takes the penalty of your sinfulness out of your life. And so therefore, we can have that rest that he offers us. It's that Sabbath rest. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one that's able to give us the rest from our sinfulness. Because we have put our faith, we have trusted him by faith. It don't make sense to me, God. I don't know how it is that you over 2,000 years died on the cross, shed your blood for me, gave up the ghost and died upon that cross, was buried in the tomb, but rose on the third day with all power. I don't understand how that saves me. I just don't understand it. But I'm grateful for the fact. I believe it as though I was right there. That there's no way that anyone could convince me otherwise that this didn't happen for me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me right now. That this did not happen for me. He did it for me. He gave himself for me. So why wouldn't I yoke up with him? Why wouldn't I follow him in his direction? Why wouldn't I do his will? Listen here, that other people might benefit from it as well. You see, whether you know or not, as you're yoking yourself with Jesus and you're walking with Jesus, folk are watching. They're watching and see, is he really going in the same steps with Jesus? And understand the fact that Jesus rose on the third day. And right now, he's still yoked to us through prayer because he's still yet praying for us. And the Bible declares that he's going to come back again, that he's going to crack the sky, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. But we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. We're going to come back with him and set up his kingdom down here. And I don't know, but I want to see each and every one of you there with us. I want to see you there. I want to see you benefit from what Christ has done for us. Because he's done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He's given what we could not give. He's given us eternal life. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Is there one? Is there one that is willing to come and say, God, I surrender to you? Amen. Amen. Lord, I surrender to you. Look at this crew. Yeah, they're great. Yeah. Amen. 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 Is there another? Listen, you may be in church and still not really yoked to Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity. What is your level of commitment to God and to the Word of God? What is your commitment? Yes, Lord. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. This is your opportunity. No greater love. No greater love. Amen. Is there another? It's one easy step. It's an act of surrendering your life. Is there another? Man, you may be seated. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. Thank you, Lord. Hold on. Get the mic. It's on now.
For those that didn't hear, we have Emmanuel Williams and Brighton Henderson, both candidates.
Amen. How you doing? You all right? Good. Listen, one of the things that I noticed about you, when you came up here, you automatically stretched out your hand to shake each man's hand, right? And that's a good thing, okay? That let me know that there's something going on with you, okay? All right, listen, I'll tell you what, we're going to have you go with Reverend Register. He's going to have prayer with you. We'll baptize you on the first Sunday if everything turns out. How you doing, young man? You all right? God bless you. Listen, you feel like the Lord is leading you here?
I do.
Great. Listen, we've got a lot of great stuff that we got coming up that we're going to make sure that you benefit from as well as participate in, all right? And likewise, the same thing. This is the first day of the rest of your life. If you accept Christ today, you have a brand new start. God gives you, he does everything over again. You everything that you've done in the past, God leaves it in the past. You have a brand new slate and a brand new start. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to go with Reverend Register that he might be able to have prayer with you. And he's going to go. Sister. Yeah, Candy. Both Candy. Parents. No. Parents here? No, he's with the crew. Yeah. Amen. I really am blessed by that gesture of him shaking, walking up, and he shook the hand. They didn't reach out to him, shake his hand. He reached out to shake their hand. That lets you know that there's somebody that's teaching him some good, what they call good home training. Amen. Amen. Because I think that that's one of the first, really things that you should learn as a young man is how to shake a man's hand. Amen. 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 Well, I don't know about you, but I think I preached myself happy today. I bless God. Amen. I'm grateful to God. Hold on. Sister Dansby? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Moderator Greg, would you like to come have words? Amen. 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 Certainly. Amen. Give him a hand. Great, you've served faithfully, man, a faithful man of God. We certainly honor you today. We thank God for you. And thank you for coming by here and blessing our sanctuary with your presence. Amen. 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 All right, if all hearts are satisfied, let us please stand. And those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. If you believe in prayer, come on down to the throne of grace. There's healing for your soul. There's healing for your soul. Amen. Yes, Lord. You know that God is able to meet you at your very point of need. I'm grateful to those who have decided to be intercessors on the behalf of others. Come on, sir. Yes. Listen, I've been pushing this prayer, and it's for a reason. Because I know the effects of prayer, the prayers of the righteous, really does avail much. Amen. And as we pray, I want you to think about that need that you have. And understand that we don't just come to God for needs, but understand that God understands what we stand in need of. And I just want you to think about that as we begin to pray. Because I sense that there are some people that have a great need this morning. There's some folk that's struggling with some stuff. I don't know what it is. I'm not a prophet, but I know that there's some people that are struggling with some things. So come on, let's go before the Lord because he's the only one that can fix it. Come on, let's bow our head, go before the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you. We praise you, God, for all that you do, God. We glorify your name this morning, God. And Lord, we're asking, God, that you would fill us with your spirit, God. Because we know that it is the spirit, Heavenly Father, Lord, that destroys yokes and destroys bondages, Father. So God, we come right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that whatever we are being weighed down with this morning, God, we come, Heavenly Father, Lord, asking, soliciting and petitioning you, God, that Lord, you would meet us at our very needs, Heavenly Father, Lord. That God, whatever it is, whether it's a sickness or unemployment or a financial need, God. But maybe it's an emotional need, Heavenly Father, Lord. I'm praying right now, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we're asking, Heavenly Father, Lord, because we know that you're the only one that can do something about it, Father. Some of it we have not told to anybody else, Father. Some of us have been suffering in silence, God. Some of us have been leading as we're bleeding, God. God, we're asking that you'll fix it right now in the name of Jesus, God. That, Lord, you'll look upon the needs of these, your people, God. Because all of us stand in the need of prayer, God. It's me, oh God, that's standing in the need of prayer, God. And I stand in the gap, God. And I ask Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you touch, Father. God, we know that you can because we've seen you do it in the past, God. We've seen how you've delivered and healed those, Heavenly Father, Lord, who were afflicted, God. And God, some of us are wrestling with the devil even as we speak, Heavenly Father. He's coming against our minds, Heavenly Father, Lord. He's trying to infiltrate our thinking, Heavenly Father. But God, I pray that we'll put on the helmet of salvation, God. That will protect our minds, Heavenly Father, Lord. I pray, God, that you would give us your peace. We shall guard our hearts as well as our minds, God. Touch for your glory, God. Lord, we want to have a celebration of praise this morning, God. We celebrate the victory, God. Now, Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'll touch Moderator Gray, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we know that he's had some challenges, God. But, Father, we're asking right now, by the Spirit and authority of Christ, that, God, you would touch him, that you would heal him, God. That you would move right now mightily in his life, Heavenly Father, Lord. But God, even if you don't, let him know that your grace is sufficient to get him where he needs to be at, God. God bless his church, Heavenly Father, Lord. Continue to bless them, Heavenly Father, Lord. Continue to let them to honor this man of God, Heavenly Father, Lord. And God, we pray that Metropolitan District never forget him. The sacrifice and the commitment that he's made. We pray for our very own Madeline Dansby, God, and Sister Patricia Suber, all the ones who are laboring in the vineyards at Messy, Heavenly Father, Lord. Sister Suber has an enormous job as president, God. Help her, Heavenly Father, Lord. Continue to bless and we shall be blessed. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this church, this local assembly, God. That, Lord, you would touch us, that we would be the church that you come looking for, God. That we'll continue to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are around us, Father. That we'll continue to be a blessing, Heavenly Father, Lord, to the people that you bring into our company, God. Lord, we ask it right now in the name of Jesus. Give us a spirit of obedience, God. Give us a spirit of compassion and love, devotion to you and your word, God. Lord, we bless your name today. We honor you today. It is in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Now, Father, bless us as we depart from this place, go to our various destinations. Till we meet again, if it be thy holy will, that we'll come into this place again and give your name praise, worship, and honor, God. We bless you today. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. Amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, hey.